I'd like to declare the meeting open at 9:33. And as always, I'll start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land in which we meet, the Quandamooka people, and I pay respects to their elders past and present. Councillors and members of the gallery, I'd just like to remind you that we now will be operating these meetings under our new standing orders. So I'll just give you this disclosure up front in regards to all of you in attendance, that Council will be recording this meeting in both audio and video, and the recordings will be made available to the public online at the earliest opportunity after the meeting has been concluded. Councillors, I will just quickly refer you to your standing orders, which have been distributed to each and every one of you, in particular to item 23, conduct during meetings, just reminding councillors of their time limits and that you must address the chairperson when moving a motion, seconding a motion, taking part in debate or discussion, and asking or responding to questions. Councillors must address each other and council officers respectfully at all times, and only one councillor should speak at a time as directed or invited by the chairperson. A councillor must not interrupt another councillor who is speaking except upon a point of order. And when the chairperson intervenes during the process of debate, the councillor speaking and all other councillors will remain silent to allow the chairperson to speak without interruption. Just another reminder, councillors, under 23, section 23, a councillor must not make personal reflections or impute improper motives to another council or council employees. You've had this document for a little while now, councillors. I'm sure you've read through it. Just a quick reminder, moving on to item 2 of the agenda, which is leave of absence, and I believe we have a full quorum, so we can move on to material personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors, reminded of your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed in a meeting, and you have responsibilities, a summary of responsibilities included in your agenda. Item 4, councillors, is the Mayor's budget address, and if I may, it gives me great pleasure today to present Redland City Council's budget for 2015-16. Each of the four budgets I've handed down as Mayor has been successful in their own right. I'm particularly proud of this year's budget and how it will deliver for the people of Redland City. I know at least one of my councillor colleagues thought it was such a great budget that they could not wait to unveil today's budget by leaking the confidential document. So, councillors, I would like to thank that councillor formally for their vote of confidence, and I look forward to their support when the budget is put to the vote later this morning. This budget is responsible, it's sensible and practical. Budget time is about finding balance, balancing the needs of the community with the external cost pressures that councils face. It's about providing the services and projects needed to take our city forward. Any economist can explain what makes a good budget from a financial perspective, but for council, to be successful in continuing to serve the needs of the community, the important components of our budget don't come from the pages of this financial manual. Rather, they need to come from our residents. It is in its ability to meet the needs of a community where the true measure of this budget will be seen. It's clear. Our community wants council to continue the quality services and projects needed to take our city forward, services such as our environmental initiatives that will see 60,000 trees planted in the city this year, our sporting fields and parks, our libraries, art gallery and performing arts centre, our great community strengthening services like our youth development program. The $1.4 million in community grants we provide to organisations and individuals each year. The $78 million in capital projects, which I will discuss in detail shortly. And this budget continues to deliver on all of these fronts. Importantly, it once again offers some relief to rising cost of living pressures across the board. The cost of living across the nation continues to impact our households. And our residents have told me they expect council to deliver top services, top quality services, without being hit in the hip pocket. Under our 2015-16 budget, a typical Redland household, that is a Category 1A owner-occupied property, with a property value of $280,000, will see a modest rate increase of just 0.5%. That's right, 0.5%. This will equate to approximately 31 cents a week and is significantly less than the average rates increases of our neighbouring councils. And it actually includes all water rates and utility charges. Obviously, residents' final rate bills may be impacted by a change in state government property valuations, but as you know, this is outside of council's control and we have done everything in our power to keep these rates as low as possible. Before my election as mayor, I pledged to contain rate rises at or below CPI, and we have delivered. Councils in their budgets are required each year to report total budgeted revenue increases, which includes all rates and utilities, less remissions, compared to the previous year. They call this our headline rate increase. This budget includes a headline rate increase of just 1.99%. And we have managed this despite Council's operating costs increasing by almost 4%, which is mainly due to the 10% rise in state government's imposed bulk water charges. 1.94% of this 1.99 headline rate increase, or almost all of Council's increased revenue, will come from growth in our city, with only 0.05% from our existing ratepayers. Over the past 4 years, Council has handed down budgets that include some of the lowest headline rate increases in South East Queensland. The total of our last four budget headline rate increases actually equates to less than 8%, or an annual average of about 2%, excluding the carbon price, which we refunded to our residents. This total is below the Redland City Council blended CPI, 14.42%, and the Brisbane CPI, 8.16% over the same period. That four-year total is also less than the annual average headline rates, the increases in the period 2006 to 2010, when it leapt as much as 11.56% in a single year, and at an average of more than 9% over that period. We have halted the massive rate rises by being responsible and responsive to our residents. And achieving this has not been without its challenges. We have not spent beyond our means. We have learned as an organisation to cut our cloth. We have cut costs and found millions of dollars in efficiencies by working smarter and doing things better and more efficiently, thereby enabling us to absorb millions more in extra costs. And these savings have been passed on to our ratepayers, sparing them the pain of having to foot the bill through higher rates. Do we need to do more? Yes, we do. Can we do more? Yes, we can. And will we do more? Yes, we will. We will continue to look for efficiencies. We will continue to work smarter, more cheaply, more efficiently, and more effectively. We will continue to be more responsive to the needs of our people of Redland City. And this budget allows us to continue to deliver greater value for money for our ratepayers. One of the biggest external cost increases Council has to manage in 2015-2016 is a 10% increase in state government bulk water costs. We have effectively absorbed and negated the impact of this government-imposed hike by reducing the council-controlled retail component by almost 30%. This means residents will continue to enjoy some of the cheapest water in South East Queensland, with water prices increasing by 1%, including all access and wastewater charges. Now, part of the reason we have been able to keep water prices down is because the Queensland Government has accepted the recommendation of the Queensland Competition Authority to smooth their future price increases, which mirrors our own price-smoothing strategy adopted last year. And we will continue to advocate for our residents in relation to water. Residents have also told me that our environment has to be a priority. And we have responded in this budget by providing $11.65 million for greening projects. We recognise the community's strong affinity with the natural environment, through a range of important flora and fauna programs, ranging from revegetation and erosion control to restore areas to their former glory, to clean-ups, fire management, and the great work of our Environmental Centre crew at Indigiscapes. Through these programs, we are continuing to rescue large tracts of bushland and nurture our local flora and fauna. This financial year, we will plant another 60,000 trees, many of them koala favourites, to add to the 38,000 koala food trees we have planted in the last 5 years. Council has also recently completed koala corridor mapping to ensure koala trees are planted in the right locations, and is actively funding the work of Professor Peter Timms, who is currently testing a chlamydia vaccine for use on koalas. Residents have also made it crystal clear to me that they want long-term financial security. They simply won't tolerate a council that leaves the same massive debt and deficit burdens faced by other councils and other levels of government. I was extremely proud to have delivered this city's first surplus for more than a decade in 2013-14. I will be even more proud to deliver our second in 2014. We aim to make this three in a row, with this budget predicting a small surplus of $106,000 in 2015-16. This will be our third successive surplus after years of big debt and big deficits. Council is now in its strongest position for many years because of all of this hard work. We are now well placed to be able to respond to any future emergencies or policy changes. Council's debt has more than halved over the past 10 years, and Redland City now has the lowest debt per household in southeast Queensland, and we will reduce it even more in 2015-16. This means that our residents will pay back less money through their rates. It also means more money will be available to continue to provide the high standard services and high quality capital programs to the people in our neighbourhoods right across the city. The budget includes a $78 million capital program highlighted by a $21 million investment in congestion busting and transport projects that will make it safer, smoother and faster for residents to get around our city. This includes $900,000 to reconstruct Banfield Lane at Capalabar and another $1 million for Southern Moreton Bay Island roads. We will also invest in the future of roads that cross our border into Brisbane by funding a cross-border transport study that will include planning for the future of Ricketts Road and other state-controlled roads. There is $8.5 million for upgrades and new play equipment in the parks and open spaces our residents enjoy so much. Our environment will benefit from $20 million in upgrades to wastewater, stormwater and transfer stations. Our reputation as a city of islands will also be enhanced with $19 million for marine and foreshore infrastructure, including boat ramp upgrades, new jetties and pontoons. These are all visible improvements, projects that will be seen in local streets and in neighbourhoods and enjoyed by families across Redland City. This will provide for residents today and their children, the children of tomorrow and, of course, our important future generations of Redlands. I said earlier that delivering this budget has not been without its challenges. We have achieved our goal in a climate of rising costs. We have also been able to do so because of a spirit of collaboration, working with government, working with each other, working with business and working with our community. Our open for business strategy is paying dividends for all ratepayers. And we are entering an exciting new era for Redland City. We are attracting investment. We are attracting major projects. Projects like the $1.3 billion Toondah Harbour Priority Development Area, like the proposed Wynnum Creek redevelopment. The Australian Industry Trade College is now coming to our city. There are more jobs, more opportunities for our Redlanders to find work locally, study locally, rather than having to leave the city for all of those. We have unveiled new economic development and tourism strategies that will deliver even more benefits and opportunities. We have proven beyond doubt that building good, strong, respectful relationships and then working collaboratively with the government and other stakeholders is what makes things happen. And that's how we are turning a half-century dream for Toondah Harbour into a reality. That's how we will deliver and develop Wynnum Creek. That's how we will attract other investment to Redlands. Remember, investment brings jobs, jobs for Redlanders. We have to look ahead, not behind us. And the opportunities ahead excites me. They excite me because I know they are good for our city of Redlands. Can I take this opportunity to thank my councillor colleagues who have supported the long, difficult process of developing this budget. I thank in advance those who will support this budget. It will be a vote in the best interests of Redland City. I would also like to put on record my sincere thanks to our CEO, Bill Lyon, our general managers, Nick Clark, Louise Rassan and Gary Suter, and our incredible finance team led by Lynette Batts, and to all the other council officers who have been involved for the work they have done over many months to pave the way to this budget. Once again, they have been working almost around the clock to put the finishing touches to Budget 2015-16, which has been a work in progress since September last year. While budgets are by their very nature financial, and many people see them merely as a bunch of numbers, this document means so much more to our community. This is a plan that responds to our residents' needs. It is our response to our changing city and our changing region of South East Queensland. It lays a pathway for our journey ahead as a community. It also represents Council's commitment to ensuring the Redlands becomes an even better place to live, play and do business. This budget is for today. This budget is for tomorrow. It's a budget for our city and for our residents. So, councillors and members of the public, on behalf of council, I'm extremely proud to commend this year's budget to you. Thank you. Moving on, councillors, we have the business in front of us in your agenda, item 5. Bear with me while I'll hand over to Councillor Edwards to present these items. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 5.1, adoption of the 2015-2016 rate notice due dates. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the due dates for payments of rates and charges as per the table listed.
So moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Beard. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
This is an administrative requirement for Council to provide a report which adopts the date by which the rates or charges must be paid for in the 2015 and 2016 financial year.
Okay. Any speakers against? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Councillors, just before we move on, I just would like to advise that it is my intention to ask Councillor Edwards to move items 5.6.1 right through to 5.6.12, and that voting will be taken on block for these items as we have previous years, just so you're aware of that in advance. Also, councillors, in line with previous practice, that the following voting on items under 5.6, councillors will be asked if they wish to have recorded in the minutes any items that they disagreed with. Similarly, a councillor who votes against the items under 5.6 can also have the items he or she agrees noted in the minutes. Just to give you that advanced warning, councillors, but I'll move back to the agenda, which brings us to 5.2. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. 5.2, debt policy 2015-2016. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the attached debt policy 2015-16.
Move Councillor Edwards. Seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
The purpose of this report is to adopt a debt policy for the 2015-16 financial year. The attached policy outlines the strategic intent of Council with respect to borrowings for the 15-16 financial year and an indication of new borrowings. Our policy is focused on a very conservative fiscal approach and non-reliance on debt.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Edwards, item 5.3.
Item 5.3, categorisation of land for differential rating 2015-16. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the rating categories for the 2015-16 financial year as given in the table recorded.
Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
The purpose of this report is to submit to Council for adoption of the differential rating categories for 2015-16. On an annual basis, Council reviews the differential rating categories and determines from the objectives and principles outlined in the revenue policy and the 10-year financial strategy the differential rating categories that will be applied in the following financial year. The differential rating categories for the 15-16 financial year have been determined in the course of budget deliberations with Council in consideration of Council objectives, the revenue policy and the 10-year financial strategy. I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Councillor Ogilvie would like to speak against it.
Just briefly, Madam Chair, to indicate why I will be voting against it, and that is that there's been I have areas in my community, principally Braby Bay, but other areas, pockets with high UCV values where the owners of those properties would prefer to see a differential rating system that had more categories that allowed for us to mitigate the ability to pay versus access to services kind of considerations. This doesn't allow for that. I'll be voting against for that reason.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers for? There being none, I'll ask Councillor Edwards, would you like to sum up? Okay, without any further discussion, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? A motion is carried with the... Okay, those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Boglari, those against? Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett and Councillor Ogilvie. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Edwards, item 5.4.
Item 5.4, Redland Water Annual Performance Plan 2015-16. I move the officer's recommendation to adopt the Redland Water Annual Performance Plans for 2015-16 as attached.
So moved by Councillor Edwards. Seconded for that, Councillor Elliott. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
The purpose of this report is for Council to adopt Redland Water's Annual Performance Plan for 2015-16 to meet the requirement of the Local Government Regulation 2012. Redland Water is a commercial business unit of Redland City Council. Redland Water has conducted a review of its annual performance plan for the 2015-16 financial year, and this is now presented for adoption. Redland Water is a key contributor to the city revenue streams and continues to deliver quality water supply in an efficient business model. I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Speaker against, Councillor Boglari. Clarification?
If I may, to Lennett. I just wanted to mention in the 15 of 17, please, through to you, Lennett, the net cash flow. It signifies or it shows clearly the amount of extra revenue that we now are fortunate enough to get from water since we've got the water business back. But in the last column, 17-18, there's $4,499,000. Can I just seek clarification? That's part of our price smoothing and it's coming from the reserve, which now has $13.1 million in it. Is that what it is? It's coming from that where we overcharge at 13. So there is $13.1 million in the reserve and we're starting to use that in 17-18.
Through you, Chair, yes, I can confirm that that is the case. We have, of course, been in a situation where we've been over-recovering, which the exact amount we still need to confirm, but yes, in future years, the intention is to pay back any over-recovery.
Price smoothing actually done out through other years as to how that reserve, because we haven't actually, I knew this was coming, but we actually haven't had a workshop on how much money was going to come in what years. How far out have we actually?
I'll get the CEO to respond, Councillor.
Councillors, we have workshopped this. If you remember back, we've adopted a 10-year financial strategy. And if you remember, I did send out a clarification as well this week that we have changed from our previous 10-year forecasting model to the new QTC model, which Council worked very hard with QTC to do, and there are some differences in there which we've highlighted to you. That financial model clearly outlines the strategy that we have and was adopted November, I can't remember the exact date, in which we did put the forward forecasts on our water. We also had workshops throughout where we, if you remember, Council, we worked through on what is our pricing path, and we talked about fixed versus the variable revenue, and we also talked about what the QCA was, and that when we did our initial modelling back, I think it was around March was the workshop that we were talking through, we did indicate at that stage that the QCA numbers that we had in our models going forward was their recommendations from their interim report in November. So we've now had those numbers validated. The Minister has written to us just this week, I think, or early last week, to actually confirm those, and they've been passed. So our budget is based on the QCA forward forecast. So all the revenue smoothing, the only conjecture we do have at the moment, as we've clearly stated many times, is the variable component of the water is just that, it's variable. And Gary Souter, as he, due to consumption, and what we've had is, as Gary would say, every time it rains he almost cries in those, but we basically have had reduced consumption, which is less water usage, so we will true up those accounts and provide that as we have to with our annual report, and we'll get that fully audited. And we are expecting less than the $13 million, but that is our best estimate at this point in time.
Sorry, I never know with these new microphones. I know we had workshops on the method that we were going to use, but even as of last week when I asked, because I wanted to know how we were going to use this money going forward, I wasn't being able to give the specific. No, so I wasn't saying we haven't had a workshop on the method, I was saying we haven't had a workshop to discuss how what the amounts that were going to be used in future years. And that's just a concern of mine, so that's why I wanted that clarification on it.
I think it was just articulated too that consumption is a variable, and therefore until we can actually finalise those consumption figures, we can't give you the exact. It was actually workshopped through a budgeted process, so forecast. We did look at how that would be smoothed out up until 2017. Unfortunately, you can't get the actuals until you've got the actuals, and consumption, that's a problem with water. So it's the best guess at this point in time, and certainly Lynette knows that as soon as she has that more definite information, it will be provided to Council. And we do get updates, obviously, on a monthly basis as well as to how water is driving revenue. Also, probably important to note that it's good news that the QCA have adopted our price path, which was a point of conjecture for some people last budget. Clearly, what we're trying to do is make it easier for our residents in the future years, and it's great that the Minister actually called me, having knowledge of our budget being brought down today, to say that he was pleased to say that they would be adopting the QCA recommendations. So, back to you, Councillor Rogler.
I just have concerns going out with water. We last term of council, it was quite devastating to our public, with the rate increases that sort of had to happen because we lost that water revenue. And I'm just very particular now with the water revenue coming back, with the slightly overcharging that, we have done, and we've got that reserve. I just really want to make sure that it is now. I'm just trying to clarify the point that I have seen the devastation it can happen if we don't manage this correctly, the amount of water revenue.
Mayor,
your point of order, Councillor.
Councillor Boglari has mentioned a couple of times overcharging. It wasn't overcharging, it was clearly price smoothing.
There's no point of order, Councillor. Councillor Boglari, everybody in this room shares the concerns about the impact on our residents with water pricing. Certainly has been the case for many years. That was precisely why we introduced a price smoothing strategy. So we acknowledge your concern. It's our concern, certainly my concern, and in reference to the budget today, which is what we are debating, the officers have given you their best information at hand. Question? Clarification?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's actually the same page, and I just wanted to clarify, first of all, yes, certainly, it's page 15 of 17. I just want to clarify, first of all, that water does represent a large additional component of our fees as council, so it does represent very important part of how we get our revenue and also how it actually impacts rates. And so that's why I think questioning about the variable nature of those years going out is very important. With regards to those years, forgive my maths, but I've come up with, I understand we've done the 10-year, we've got the 10-year notional QTC aligned smoothing path going out, but what I'm looking at with these 3 years is I'm seeing $34 million coming to council. This is under net cash flow. This is the third last point. When we add those up, net cash flow in 15-16 is $34 million, which is in line with about the $30 million or so that we've had over the last 4 years. And then if we add up the next column, which is year one going out, that drops down to about $28 million, $367. And then in the third year, it drops down to $21,592. It's just a significant decrease in that dividend to council that I think future councils will need to consider as part of the price smoothing, and we will be limited in our ability to adjust. And as you say, there are cyclical aspects as well to the
so whole. What is the clarification you're seeking, councillor?
I just want to get clarification that we've got the 10-year adopted amount, the price smoothing path. But going out, these next 2 years are represented.
Is that a question or is that a question? Sorry, you are asking for a clarification, so I'm just trying to understand the question. So
it's just a clarification that the next couple of years going out do have a change to the amount, the dividend coming back
Thank
to council.
Lynette?
Just to clarify, the two models actually linked together, so we have a water model that's work the QTC has developed for us, and we've now switched to the QTC model as well for our overall financial strategy. The water model inputs straight into that, so you will actually see that we've taken that already into account when we're forecasting our overall position. So it's all there, it's all accounted for, and it is part of our strategy, so I don't think there's a particular reason to be concerned.
Right. No. Read on. Councillor, as you'll remember in the workshop, this was clearly explained, and we had some graphs through there around our future water revenue, and we explained that the amount of revenue that we do get from water will become an issue as we go out into it, and council needs to address those with alternate revenue streams, which we are looking at, and ways to minimise the impact as we get, because there are, if you remember back there, there were some deals done when the bulk water assets went off. And if you look at the QCA report, we get colloquially a sweetheart deal for a period of time, and then we get up to the normals, and most of the others are seeing that. So that's all clearly been enunciated. We're working through that. The strategy is there to understand that. And again, this is a variable component, so we're doing our best guess. And remember, we have provisioned money in the early years, which is why you see that as Councillor Bulgari did that drawdown. So that was a clear strategy. So we're well aware of that, we're well working through that, and it's, as my CFO said, we've clearly articulated that and expect no concerns.
If I may, I appreciate that these are linked, and I'm grateful for that because it does give us all some clarity and certainty going out. I suppose the notion that I'm drawing here is that sweetheart deal has been in this first few years, and that going forward, next year we see a drop of some $6,000 and then a similar $5,000 million, and so in future there will be some costs, and notwithstanding those variables will need to be factored in by future councils. Have the sweetheart deal's been front loaded to this particular
term?
The
sweetheart deal's been in place since the government took water away from us. I'll get Lynette to explain that a little further.
Just don't forget that also we have a price path smoothing strategy. So what was an over-recovery previous years will shift into an under-recovery to balance that off. And that's where you see the reflection of the change. So there is a drop because we have money there. So it's all factored in, it's all accounted for. I'm more than happy to take you through that in much more detail later on if you wish.
If I may, just that this is what we're voting on, what's in front of us, and so I'm just going off what's here today. I understand those other things are conditional and they impact this, but...
Conditional. Sorry, Councillor, I'm not quite sure where you're heading with this. They are not conditional. They are absolutely set in stone.
They're set in stone, but we're voting on this.
which is based on the stones that have been set. By the way, just a reminder to councillors that water is now a completely government-regulated business, and we are absolutely, to the dot, to the T, completely guided by what the legislation says. So there is no wriggle room, and we're doing our best, as we've actually tried to do in the previous years, which has now been adopted by the QCA and now the government, to make sure the impact is reduced on our residents as much as possible, and we'll continue to advocate for that over the next few years. What you have here is based on many years of debate, argument and decision making by two levels of government. So thank you, Councillor. Is there any speakers against?
Just a comment, Madam Chair.
Comment.
That's all right. I think the comment needs to be made at this point, just having had this discussion, that by having had this revenue come at this time, $35 million, whatever it was, $32 million last year and so on and so forth, that has allowed for a significant amount of downward pressure on rates and revenue, full stop. I've made the comment, I think, last year that we were, hit on the arse by a rainbow called All Connects this council in the first year of its term of council, in that, All Connects was dissolved, the business was returned to us, and that enabled us to take charge of the revenues and do much better than we were previously doing. I think the return from the business previously, when it was All Connects and it was a business that was co-owned by Logan and Gold Coast, was around $16 million per year. It immediately jumped to $32 million a year. That was roughly, 28, 29, whatever it was, in the $30 million category. So it doubled overnight. So having been able to do that has made a significant difference to our ability to provide rates relief to the community, and that shouldn't be underestimated by any stretch of the imagination. And the other thing to mention is that by price smoothing, ostensibly to cushion the impacts on consumers in outer years, we have, yes, front-ended a lot of our income. And that means at the back end of the price path, that we are actually transferring money out of the business, out of the consolidated business, back to the consumers. But that will put upward pressure correspondingly on our reliance on rates revenue. And that just needs to be understood, I think.
No argument, I think, there, councillors, and I think that's pretty much why we are able this year to actually mitigate the 10% rate increase, state bulk water increase to our residents, and we'll continue to find ways of raising revenue other than through the hip pocket paid by rates. So, councillors, I don't know if there's any further questions. So we've had a bit of discussion. If I may, I might just hand back to Councillor Edwards to sum up, unless there's someone else that's going to jump in. No? Councillor Edwards? Would you like to sum up? Sorry, I didn't.
I have nothing further to add.
Okay, with that, councillors, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Oh, sorry, pardon, one against. So Councillor Bishop is against. Councillor Gleeson is for the affirmative. We have Councillor Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Elliott, Edwards, Hewlett, Hardman, Ogilvie and Boglari. And myself, my apologies. Sorry. Councillors, moving on to our Red Waste Annual Performance Plan, 5.5, Councillor Edwards.
5.5, Red Waste Annual Performance Plan 2015-16. I move the Officer's recommendation to adopt the Red Waste Annual Performance Plan for 2015-16 as attached.
So move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
The purpose of this report is for Council to adopt Red Waste Annual Performance Plan for 2015-16 to meet the requirement of the Local Government Regulation 2012. Red Waste is a commercial business unit of the Redland City Council. This report aligns with Council's corporate plan, ensuring Council's existing infrastructure assets are maintained to ensure current service standards are maintained or improved. I support the recommendation.
Any other speakers? Speaker against? Speaker against, Councillor Boglari?
I'll be speaking against the waste strategy. Oh, sorry, the waste motion here today. We have a waste strategy coming up in the near future, I know. But recently, Council has taken a more high-risk troubleshooting approach to our waste with $37 million worth of work over the next 10 years, which at the moment has has been reduced down to just 11 million, and I have concerns with the safety of not only the environment, but what impact that will actually have on the surrounding areas of it. And until I have absolute certainty of how this change in our level of risk, which apparently got changed in November last year, the state government said that council could now do their own high, medium or low risk approach, and we have taken the high risk approach, I can't vote for this one.
I'll ask the General Manager, Gary Souter, to respond to that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through you, just a point of clarification, this report that's being presented here is for red waste. It's for the operational components of our waste business. The issue to which Council Bulgari was referring relates to our closed landfill levy as such. The two, as they currently sit, are not related. They are totally separate from one another. This is the commercial business unit, the report that's being presented now, which has nothing to do with the closed landfills.
My apologies. I did seek clarification from an officer previously, so I
apologise. Which officer was that, Councillor?
I wouldn't say publicly.
Okay. Well, I'm also concerned that you are asserting that an officer hasn't responded to you or responded to you effectively.
No, they did. They did respond to me. Either I've misunderstood or, I'd say I've misunderstood.
Well, have you got the clarity you need now to understand what you're voting on, Councillor?
Yes.
From
thank you.
From Gary?
Yep.
Thank you.
All
right. Any further speakers, Councillors, on that? Back to you, Councillor Edwards.
Nothing further to add.
All right, Councillors, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously.
If I may, Madam Mayor, you just mentioned before we were going to move into a process on block. We're just getting to that point. Let's get clarification on
that. I'll remind you. Yes, Councillor. Thank you. So as I said earlier, Councillors, it will be my intention to ask Councillor Edwards to move items 5.6.1 through to 5.6.12 on block, and that voting will be undertaken in line with previous practices. We will, however, give you all an opportunity, as we have consistently, to have your comments noted in the minutes, whether they be positive or negative, for or against. And if I could just stress, Councillors, that I will maintain a time limit on that. I will allow you 5 minutes if you wish, but I will ask you to be specific to the item and articulating exactly why you don't support that particular item rather than being broad scale, so that we can make sure it is actually adequately noted in the minutes for further reference. So with that, I'll hand over.
Madam Chair, point of order.
Sure.
Two, actually. The first is, my understanding is that if you're going to move something on block when the items are listed separately in the agenda, you first need a motion that it is going to happen on block. So can I get clarification on that? So there'll first be a motion.
That would be appropriate, Madam Mayor.
The second thing, just on what you finished saying there, was despite the fact that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 9 items there that look like they're going to be moved on block, you are going to limit speakers to 5 minutes?
Sorry, as we have previously allowed, and I would have assumed that you've all gone through those items and indicated to yourselves at least which items you don't support, and therefore you will have time to comment and have those noted. If you want a novel listed in the minutes, that's one thing, but I don't think we can allow for that. And it will be at my discretion. If you're making points and you're to the point, I'm more than happy to allow more than that. But at this point in time, we'll give each of you 5 minutes to respond. And also the opportunity to speak for and against.
Okay, so that's 5 minutes per item that you intend to disagree with or agree with.
No, that will be on block, Councillor. I can't imagine that you could dream up 5 minutes every single item in here, Councillors, because we've workshopped this thoroughly.
As a point of order, if you're going to move, 9 items, some of which have specific, particularly for a Divisional 2 councillor or other councillors, some of them have specific application of those councillors, it would be more appropriate to allow those councillors at least more than 5 minutes to speak to the on-block motion.
Councillor, I will allow that if they are speaking to those motions. I will make that judgment at the time, but if it tends to be more than what is necessary for noting in the minutes, because really this is allowing you to vote en bloc, yet have your disagreements with various pieces of each item noted in the minutes.
So the other question, just as a point of order, Madam Chair, is are you going to allow people to speak generally about the budget, which is what we've traditionally done at this point in the meeting procedures?
Councillors, there will be speakers for and against, as is always the case. Okay, so we'll firstly need to move a motion, Councillor Edwards, that we move items 5.6.1.
Sorry? Is that done, is it?
It's in the recommendation, I believe. Sorry. Just making sure that we've got it covered, Councillors.
There you go.
Does that cover it, Nick?
Item 8. Councillor Edwards.
Nick, if Councillor Edwards moves the officer's recommendations.
I think going back to Councillor Ogilvie's point, I think there does need to be a specific vote on a motion to deal with all of the items together.
Happy to do that, Councillor, if you wouldn't mind just moving it.
I think eight covers it, though. I think eight covers
it. The question is, do we need to adopt it separately? That's really the question. We'll just do it separately and then it's covered.
If I can...
Sorry. Councillor Edwards, if you wouldn't mind just moving a motion as stated there in item 8, that the balance of the agenda and other aspects of the budget.
Yes, I'll move the motion as recorded in item 8, adopt the balance of the budget agenda for all other aspects of the budget and financial documents as recommended by council officers in the report, items 5.6.4 to 5.6.12.
Point of order, Madam Chair, and I think Nick, I can see by Nick's face that he's agreeing with me. That's not going to do it. I'll leave it at that.
This is traditionally how it's been put forward to us in other budget meetings, councillors, so I'll seek advice from...
This is a point of order. The LGAQ, I think, or even the Department of Local Government issued a missive, a bit of a statement on how to move on block. They actually wrote an argument that you shouldn't do on block voting because it's anti-democratic for that. But that, you know, they said where necessary, if you were going to do it, there was a special kind of format that they put out for doing it. And I think you need to get it right, because if you move that as is, what you're doing is you're going to, once it's moved, you'll actually lose dot 1.3 to 7, because then everything's done, business is done.
Madam Mayor, I think the simplest way to avoid any confusion is just to have a very simple motion that the Council agrees ultimately to a vote on all items on block once the debate is concluded.
I'm looking, we've had this legally reviewed, I assume, as well, so this hasn't been raised by any of our solicitors. Andrew? So, Nick, if you could assist with that motion to make sure it's absolutely 100% correct, that would be appreciated. Thank you. Yeah. Councillors, what we might do is just adjourn for 5 minutes so we get that right and get that checked, if that's okay. If we have a mover that we adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes to allow that to happen, move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. We'll return at 10:27 roughly. Do you return to your seat so that we can resume our meeting proceedings? Thanks. Councillor Boglari, you wouldn't mind? Where's Councillor Bishop now? Councillors, can we get a motion to resume meeting proceedings? Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously and Councillor Bishop is out of the room. Councillors, we've got a motion provided by our General Manager, Nick Clark, once he gets up there, reviewed by our General Counsel, and I'll ask Councillor Edwards if he would like to move that motion.
Yes, I'll move the motion that the Council resolves to vote in block about agenda items 5.6.1 to 5.6.12 following debate on all of those items.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. It's so moved, seconded by Councillor Beard. Councillor Edwards, do you want to speak to that motion?
Yes, I will.
This is just the en bloc motion, Councillor.
Covering everything, yes, General.
No. Just the en bloc, just that we're going
Okay. Discussion on that, I think we've covered that.
Thank you. Okay. So, councillors, will put the motion. Our speaker against, Councillor Ogilvie.
Madam Chair, I've got in front of me it's legal advice given to the LGAQ, and it's quite extensive and it's quite strong in its advice against councils doing en bloc voting. It talks about natural justice and et cetera, judicial review, all sorts of issues here that are raised. Frankly, the only reason you'd move something en bloc is if you think that it's going to be simpler and easier to get through all the items in front of you. And frankly, I don't think most of these are just ticking flicks. There might be one speaker at most on most of these items. I don't see why we need to do anything en bloc here other than the fact that we've done it in the past. So I think it's easy. We just go through them one by one and it's done. It's not hard.
Thank you, Council. I do know that we have been doing this for like beyond the term of this council. So, and we actually do make allowances outside of our standing orders to allow you to speak on any of those items that you have any disagreement with. And as I've said, if you're making a point on that item, disagree or agree, certainly as chair, and if you haven't had time, I will definitely allow that. So I think you get the same opportunities. The items are listed in order for you to be able to address individually. So with that, councillors, nothing has changed. This is how we've been doing it. We've had legal review over the whole document, and also we've had our general counsel and our general manager of governance and organisational services give us this advice. So with that, we have had a speaker against. Do we need a speaker for, councillors? There being none, back to you, Councillor Edwards. So with that, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? So the motion is carried. Councillors, those in favour, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Beard, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman and Councillor Williams. Those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie and Councillor Boglari. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Edwards, if you want to now move on with the items as listed, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I might read them all through each one to so everyone knows what they are. Item 5.6.1, Statement of Estimated Financial Position 2015-16. Item 5.6.2, National Competition Policy Requirements for Significant and Other Business Activities in 2015-16. Item 5.6.3, Establishment of Reserve Balances and Transfers 2015-16. Item 5.6.4, Sovereign Waters Lake Levy Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.5, Aquatic Paradise Marina Special Charge Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.6, Aquatic Paradise Special Charge Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.7, Raby Bay Marina Special Charge Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.8, Raby Bay Tidal Works Community Title Scheme, Special Charge and Annual Implementation Plan 2014-15. Item 5.6.9, Raby Bay Tidal Works Non-Community Title Scheme, Special Charge Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.10, Southern Moreton Bay Islands TransLink Operations Special Charge Annual Implementation Plan 2015-16. Item 5.6.10, 11, Southern Moreton Bay Islands TransLink's operational special charge amendment to overall plan, and item 5.6.12, overall plan rural fire levy special charge. I move the officer's recommendations as recorded.
It's moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Elliott. I haven't got a seconder yet, Councillor. Is it to do with the motion?
Yeah. In 5.6.8
says
2014, 2015.
Mine says 2015, 16.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a typo. Okay, we'll make sure it's amended. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. We've got a seconder to that. Councillor Beard, Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to it? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to speak to it holistically in regards to this budget. The 2015-16 budget marks the continuation of responsible management and control of our city funds. Again, we see year-on-year delivery of low-impact rates adjustments for our residents and careful application of funds to meet the maintenance of our existing assets whilst building new infrastructure to cater for the needs of our growing population. It's not easy to meet the expectations of all in our community when our revenue base is far smaller than our neighbouring councils. However, I think we have delivered a result which again is responsible, targeted and meets and perhaps pleasantly surprises most of our residents. During this current term of council, it has not been an easy task to deliver successive budgets and outcomes that have been at odds with past council performances. It is more than the return of the water business. It is a fundamental change in the way this council views the management and expense of funds within the organisation. And that cultural change was driven by the executive leadership team under the guidance of our CEO. This paradigm shift in operational costs flowed throughout council at all levels, and the staff have time and time again delivered savings to our budget. And that's where the rubber really hits the road. We may set policy, however, it is the staff of this organisation who deliver. And deliver they have throughout several years, and I'd like to thank them for their dedication to each other, this council and our community. This year, it is disappointing to see the budget leaked in advance. However, regardless of the motive to do so, this budget stands on its own as another good budget for our city. This is the last of our budgets being delivered by this current council before next year's election. I believe that our ratepayers draw comfort out of our consistency in delivering successive budgets that are responsible and cautious when dealing with the public purse. Like all the other budgets we have delivered, this budget stands strong, outperforms most other councils, and it's built on a position of financial strength achieved through our recent successive budgets. The residents of our city will be comforted to know that our cash holdings exceed our debt, and we look forward to a planned accelerated debt reduction program. We do not rely on drawing new loans to service this council's operation. Substantial cash holdings, minimal debt being quickly paid down, no need to draw new loans. Those three elements are the goal of any financial statements, whether it be council, a local business or the family budget. That is the position our state and federal governments aspire to be in. But we are not resting on our hard work done to date. We continue to look at alternative revenue streams to broaden our income base. We continue to look at alternate ways this council can do business, such as delivering infrastructure at lower costs. And one example would be our green roads being delivered on the islands and now on the mainland. These actions give confidence and comfort to our ratepayers that we continue to act in their best interests. This financial year, the residents of Redlands can look forward to a continued road upgrade program and the continued maintenance and resurfacing of existing roads. The residents of Macleay Island will see the delivery of a multi-million dollar foreshore car park extension. Our footpath delivery program will continue throughout the city. Parks will continue to be well maintained and new parks made available to our community, such as the newly acquired Bankswood Park on School of Arts Road, Redland Bay. We'll continue to provide and improve our library services, continue to provide a free domestic refuse facility. We will instigate the plans of our tourism strategy to attract more visitors to our region and build on our social infrastructure to continue to enhance the reputation of Redlands as the best place in the world to live, work and play. This budget is more than just figures on paper. It is the annual starting point of how we intend to service and build our community. It heartens me on the feedback I receive that people trust us. Our community knows that we will continue to serve our city at the standards expected in a cost-effective way and in the interests of all our residents. I fully support this budget.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Any speakers against? Councillor Ogilvie?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Firstly, I'd like to speak against the Raby Bay, well, on block, if you like, the Raby Bay, to make some comments about the Raby Bay charges. Madam Chair, compared to previous years, it's a modest increase in the charges due in part to engineering trials that are happening, and we've anticipated in our forward projections for the next 10 years a successful trial and extrapolated future costs and impacts on the levy reserves based on success. Some would say that it's a little premature to build a charge and a model around success, but that is what it is. To the extent that we have slowed the rate of increase this year, then I'm sure residents will be pleased, but they will surely be angry and let us know if the trials don't turn out as expected, and instead if this turns out to be a false dawn. It is worth mentioning here too that the new executive of the Raby Bay Ratepayers Association is interested in a more formal arrangement with council when it comes to the management and scrutiny of the spend of their money on their walls, and that is fair enough, I think. The previous council at one stage offered the Raby Bay Ratepayers Association a memorandum of understanding, and I think we should reopen that and extend the offer again. The other thing they are asking for is a more fulsome accounting of their funds, one that adds transparency to their loan account, for example. The loan drawdown of $4.5 million happened for reasons unknown to me. It was supposed to happen in conjunction with an accelerated proactive campaign of repairs, a stitch-in-time-saves-nine type approach to wall maintenance, but that hasn't happened, yet the drawdown did. The other thing they are after is a more transparent approach to the forward planning and backward acquittal of their funds. All these things are reasonable requests, I would have thought.
Excuse me, Councillor Ogilvie, sorry to interrupt. That drawdown, is that in this financial budget that you're referring to?
It's very much a part of the annual implementation plan and the charging.
The drawdown? The loan drawdown?
Yeah.
I thought they were referring to a previous drawdown when they referred to the...
Sure, the drawdown was done about 2 years ago, but it constitutes part of the 10-year program and the overall financial circumstances in which we...
Thank you, that's fine. Just clarity on that.
...set the levy. I think these things that I've mentioned, the forward planning and backward acquittal of their funds, are reasonable requests, although I think it is fair to say that forward planning in that space is and always will be difficult to predict what will fail and when. It is also fair to say that they would want me to mention that they still believe, and I agree, that a 30% contribution to the cost of the canals is a fair estimate of the community Reed Council share of the cost of the canal. And it is fair to say, and I agree, that they remain disappointed that Council discontinued the implementation of the convergence ratio policy for rating, and they would absolutely be paying far less in rates this year had it been continued. And that's the end of my comments on that particular item, Madam Chair. But I have comments on the overall budget. Your other speakers want to speak first, though.
Well, Council, if you want to just continue, that would be probably the best way to handle it.
Well, firstly, general comments on the operating statement. All in all, I think it's a tidy set of numbers with some cause for celebrations, but with some provisos. Any surplus is a cause for celebration, especially when there is a moderate rate increase, but we should not forget that the return of the water business to council has provided a big bonus to this council, and net profits from that business are up 100%+ from the 11-12 financial year. We should not forget also that the shift from best practice to, let's call it, Spartan approach with regard to landfill remediation has also provided about $10 million in recurrent savings. The decision to stop raising money also for environmental land purchases on the basis that we have amended our list of desired purchases has shaved another $30 off the rates bill, even though only two months ago we decided to buy land that wasn't on that list.
So you're referring to the environmental levy. You're referring to that reduction to 3 years ago, correct?
But yes. Madam Chair, but I'm saying it was...
Yeah, because I think the environment levy is actually going up $2.20 this year, so...
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. The pension remission is also the same as it ever was. I think pensioners won't be happy about that. And we should also be mindful of the fact that the go-forward situation has been significantly increased by the significant increase in developer contributions this year, which hasn't been gone unnoticed, the increase in development by the community. I think we seem to be fairly quick to pat ourselves on the back about our hard work and our financial capacity, but we seem to forget that there is some very significant other factors that have made our current present financial situation what it is. With regards to the Capital Works program, I think we need to do a lot better in preparing the Capital Works program. The move away from the project management office model that provided some rigour to the prioritisation of Capital Works to a more ad hoc model has for mine been a backward step. The current policy is not much more than a set of principles and gives little guidance to the general manager who has been tasked with the job of prioritisation. And in this criteria-free environment, there is little wonder that there will be perceptions that some divisions have been more favoured than others. The program this year has had very little discussion, in my opinion, and this too doesn't help the feeling amongst some councillors that the right things will be done. The decision to put in place, for example, a Southern Redlands roads program to me is just crazy. I'll be frank with you, I just do not see that as a priority at this current time in our city cycle. I can only hope that the new advisory committee will bring some rigour back to that process. With regards to the sustainability of our 10-year program and the parameters that underpinned our forward projections, there are a few things that stand out. Firstly, we are forecasting an increase in rates at above CPI. Secondly, we are forecasting no increase in staff, despite 50,000 more people to come. Thirdly, we have a cash crash, though it's not nearly as bad as it once looked like it might be. Fourthly, we are seemingly running down our plant and equipment, although it's relatively minor in the overall scheme of things across the 10-year period, but something that we need to be considerate of. Fifthly, most importantly, we are underinvesting in our asset renewals and our maintenance on assets. And I'm frankly just not one of those people who buys into the excuses for why this is, i.e. that we are a young city, that the ratio is unachievable, etc., etc. Other places are doing it. I know that Noosa is at 100%, and we should be getting there soon, in my opinion. Overall, budgets follow policy. They follow the vision for the city, and this one does exactly that. People often say to me that we pay some of the highest rates in southeast Queensland. Where does the money go? They saw that Monday article that said that we are paying the highest rates in southeast Queensland, and they ask me, where does the money go? And the reality is that the money is predominantly going into growing the city. It's not consolidating or embellishing what we have, but in growing. Councils have under-recovered on infrastructure costs for as long as I have been here. In our latest revenue policy, we talk about this. For years, the LGAQ and councils have been talking about this, but nothing has happened, and we still choose to grow into greenfield areas. From memory, the southeast Thornland area will cost ratepayers between $30 to $40 million, and Kinross Road about $10 million. The community hates these already, and they think, and I can only think how much they would hate them if they knew how much they were paying for them. Of course, these costs have an opportunity cost. When I think about this budget and where we are going and whether we are going in the right direction, I think it is not about the numbers, as you, Mayor, and you, Councillor, have said. It is about the vibe. And I couldn't help but liken our situation to the castle with Daryl and Sal Kerrigan. I have this analogy in mind where Daryl and Sal save up some money, and they buy a little basic one-bedroom home. And then in the next year, they save up some more money, and Sal turns to Daryl and says, Daryl, I'd like to put some carpets and maybe some curtains into this one-bedroom little home. And Daryl says, I know better, Sal. What I'm going to do is put on another bedroom. And Sal says, all right. And then in the third year, they save up a little bit more money, and Sal turns to Daryl and says, Daryl, I'd like to put in some carpets and some curtains. Daryl says, I know better, I'm going to put on another bedroom. And it goes on. For another year and another year, Daryl keeps putting on bedrooms. And then eventually Sal says to Daryl, I'd like to put some carpets and some curtains up. And Daryl says, honey, we've got to fix the footings of the first bedroom home that we originally bought. And in fact, we don't have enough money anymore.
Get to the point.
I think the analogy is good. And Daryl says, and in fact,
we're in a budget meeting. And Daryl says,
Daryl says to Sal, "You're dreaming, love." He says, "We don't have enough money anymore to fix the footings. We've only got enough money to fix half the footings. But by the way, that seventh bedroom we put on, I'd like to put an ensuite in it. We've got friends coming from Sydney." And I said, "I'm thinking about this Southern Redlands Roads program now." And he says, "I've got an eighth bedroom, and that's going to go over the top of the veggie patch. And then I've got a ninth bedroom planned,
right,
and we're going to have to chop down
Councillor,
that koala tree
Councillor,
put the
enough.
Ninth bedroom in."
Councillor, enough. You're very humorous, and we're enjoying it, but get to the point. You have standing orders. Talk to the item in front of you, Councillor. This is not a stage for you to perform and entertain the people in the gallery. To the point, what are the issues you have in voting against this? We're not voting on the castle today.
Well, I think the point is, Madam Chair, is that Sal is the community and Daryl is us. We keep thinking that we know what is best for them. Sal just wants carpet. Sal just wants she wants the curtains. She doesn't want the ninth bedroom over the veggie patch, and she doesn't want to lose the koala tree. She wants a small one-bedroom house that works
right,
and has
Councillor.
All mod cons.
Thank you.
It's about time we listen to Sal.
Thank you, Councillor. Speaker four, councillors. Councillor Tolte, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be supporting the budget today, and I'd like to thank the officers for all their work and the organisation for all their work in allowing such a budget to come forward. And I'd certainly congratulate the Mayor and the CEO on the work that they've done in order to present this budget today. We are back in surplus, which is a really nice thing to be able to say. And as the Mayor mentioned, with the lowest debt per household of any other council in South East Queensland. As the Mayor mentioned, we've done this by balancing need and being responsive and being responsible and responsive. We've got $78 million worth of capital projects coming forward in this budget, and part of that is the continuing Southern Redland Road program. Now, the most basic business of council is roads rubbish rates, and for people who live on dirt roads and live in an environment which includes dust, and in most cases those people who are on dirt roads are also not on town water, that dust is an ongoing health and lifestyle issue. And those properties have been paying rates just as long and probably longer than the other properties in the city. And they've waited patiently, and they have a right to expect that the simple, basic services that are extended to all properties in the Redlands will eventually come to them. This is a modest program, and it is a program that council should absolutely be continuing. We have 1.94% of our headline growth coming from new growth, and 0.05% from our existing ratepayers. That's something to be able to explain to them. More sustainable practices, more efficient organisation, and providing the services required and expected are all elements that are represented in this budget. Under this budget and the prior budgets of this term of council, the percentage increase in revenue over the 4 years of this council is less than the percentage increase for any 1 year for the previous. The total cumulative headline rate increase, excluding the carbon price, which we return to the residents, is around 7.79%. The CPI over that same period for Brisbane is calculated at 8.16%. Excluding the anomaly of the water business, this council has provided headline rates better for our residents than any council in this 10-year period. And I support and I commend the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Speaker against? Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And if I can just start by saying that the reason I will be speaking against is, having gone on block, there are many points that I would like to address.
We have had that vote, Councillor, and you can address those points right now in the time you have, and also list them after speakers for and against, so they are minuted. So it doesn't require you to vote against it to register your disagreement with any item.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I acknowledge that we're sitting here at an extraordinary time. We're delivering our fourth budget for this term of council, and soon the community's eyes will turn, understandably, to their own rates notices, and they'll ask, what's in it for me? And soon after that, there will be an election, as Councillor Edwards has pointed out, and a new group of elected community representatives will be sitting here in these chambers, like us, looking at these situations, thinking about the future of our city, and they'll be sitting here asking, well, what's in it for me? I'd just like to now just talk about water. We've identified that it's a huge part of our subsidy, and it represents an important part of what relieves the rates pressure. Will they have the water revenue that has averaged these $30 million per year over the past 4 years to subsidise our annual expenses on services and provision of infrastructure? Well, going out in the next 2 years, we know that no, that won't be the case. At least for the next 2 years, they'll have less as a return to council. And they're going to be locked into that contentious price smoothing path, which will prevent a certain amount of ability for us to do that over recovery, because we've sort of done that. When it comes to waste, will this new council have an industry accepted fee for service available to them for commercial and domestic use at our recycling stations? The answer's no, they won't, because that's been removed, even though that we know that those costs are unavoidably rising.
I'm not following your comments, Councillor, in relation to this budget. It's okay, continue, but I'm just finding it hard to understand what you're trying to assert there in regards to...
Thank you. I'll continue, and hopefully it'll make sense as we go on, because what I'm talking about, as you have in your opening address and also Mark Edwards and other councillors have mentioned, is that going forward there will be another term, and I'm thinking about the context of the past four councils, the past four budgets, and what will come next. And I think it's important that we actually consider the importance of our past, our present, and also our future, because that's an important part of why we sit here. And I was just answering your question, Madam Mayor. If you'd like me to get more specific about what you'd like me to answer, then otherwise I'll continue on with my thoughts here. So we don't have the ability to charge those who do use the refuse and recycling stations, and so that opportunity for subsidy and revenue for council won't be available. Will they have the powerful injection that has been reported of the $15 million infrastructure charges that we have benefited from this year? And I refer specifically to 5.6.1, which is the executive summary of our statement of estimated financial position, which under line item cash and investment says, increased development activity in the Redlands area resulted in higher than anticipated revenue received from developer cash contributions. Payments for property, plant and equipment were also significantly lower than what was originally anticipated. I'd just like to point out that in the last general meeting that we had, it was identified that between 30 and 50% of the cost of infrastructure is footed by the general community. So as we have the Kinross and other areas developing across the city, there will be an increased fee that future councils and community will have to pay in terms of rates. I think it's also worth noting that in our last general meeting as well, I think it's important for us, as I said a moment ago, thinking about the future of our residents. We've got a couple of very important things where consideration of the future factors and fiscal factors are very important. One is that the Centre for Economic Development Australia, the Committee for Economic Development Australia, recently identified that in the next 10 to 15 years, 40% of all current jobs have a moderate to high risk of disappearing. That's an important part for the people who we represent. It's an important part for us to take into account at a time when it is very likely that they're anticipating that these jobs will just disappear. Not that they'll be replaced with something, but that through automation and through innovation and also internet solutions, they'll disappear. That's a lot of jobs out of the city. At the same time, in those 10 to 15 years, we're going to see 30% of the general community of Redland City reach retirement age, making it further challenging for them to pay for what are likely to be, as we're already seeing in relation to water, increasing costs. What I'm suggesting here, and it's a general note, is that this council, by effectively having some very clear strategies prior to the last election and suggesting that we wanted to cap rates, remove tip fees and various other parts of a six-point plan back to basics, has effectively said that we will play Santa Claus, and as you, to quote you, if I may, at the beginning of today, you said...
Madam Mayor, are we talking about the budget?
We are. Can I... I'm having an interjection. That's against standing orders, if I may continue.
Well, Councillor Gleeson, have you got a point of order?
Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Would you like me to stop?
That is standing order.
Stop topic, Madam Mayor.
We ask to come back to the items in front of you, Councillor Bishop. Thank you.
Well, I'm speaking specifically to your budget speech, and I'm just quoting here that we have done everything in our power to keep these rate rises as low as possible. Well, it has been Christmas, and we have had the rates, we have had the water revenue, and we've done everything within this organisation to extract where possible. And after the previous council, who were lumped with the responsibility of having to deal with the removal of water and all of the subsidy that came from that, on top of that, we have officers who have been under extreme pressure of constraint and economic rationalism.
Councillor, now I think you're probably taking it a little too far, and I'll ask the CEO to respond.
Can you clarify how I've taken it too far?
Because you're actually talking about something that is not factual, thank you, and I'll ask the CEO to respond to your allegation that officers are suffering stress.
I didn't... I said that they're under...
Extreme pressure.
Can I change that to extreme pressure?
I'll ask you to withdraw it, Councillor, because I don't think there's any indication...
Can I change that to...
Councillor, withdraw it, please, because there is no indication...
economic rationalist constraint, which is, I think, very clearly
I'll
what we have been
doing. I'll ask you to withdraw your
the
reference
to
the councillors, council officers being under...
I will absolutely withdraw.
Thank you. And you
the
can carry on then.
That there's any stress, because that's obviously operational, and I specifically...
Well,
do
you
not
have absolutely no evidence of that either, councillor. Thank
indeed,
you.
And it's not my responsibility to take that into account, except for the fact that these are the officers who deliver the essential services and the infrastructure that our city relies on. And they're also going to need to do it under constrained economic circumstances going forward, as we have done, to quote you again, everything within our power to keep these rates rises as low as possible. One of the things that I'd like to point out, and was pointed out, forgive me for raising it, but it was, as you mentioned, it was put on Facebook last night.
Okay. We're not going to have a social media debate. Well, stick to the... No, sorry, Councillor. If you want to have a social media debate, do it on social media.
I was slandered about this specific thing.
Will you take
thing.
That up? Thank you, Councillor. You take that up with the relevant authorities. It's not for this chamber nor for this debate.
Yeah, well,
with the greatest respect, you take that up with the authority that can deal with it. It's not going to be part of this debate.
I believe it already has been, and fair enough.
Councillor, I'm ruling on that. Please.
Thank you.
Please carry on with the debate on the item.
Let me move more generally. There is a perception that there is an opposition in this council.
Councillor, no, we're talking about the budget. You want to talk politics, you can do that outside on the soapbox.
Let
please.
Me come back, if I may, to the... can I speak to the Queensland Treasury Corporations?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I'd like now to refer to the letter dated 10th of June, which we received the day before yesterday, and refer to the initial letter to the CEO, which is part of a desktop financial review from the Queensland Treasury Corporation that identifies a number of points. The summation is, however, our review also indicates that over the forecast period, Council does not expect to meet local government recommended benchmarks relating to asset sustainability. I understand this has been highly, it has some conjecture. Certainly not by me. I believe asset sustainability is very important, and one of the things that I've been asking for is short, mid and long-term scenario planning looking over the horizon of the future, because, as I've said, there are important factors there. Council's capital expenditure ratio is slightly below the recommended benchmark. in financial year 2018-2020. Asset sustainability ratio is well below the benchmark of 90% over the forecast period 2016-2020. These start to point to where there are going to be ongoing costs. And after having taken as much as we possibly could for the benefit of this term of council, it may well place incredible pressure on future councils. And so we're going to have to look back at things like how we deal with the cost of waste, etc. I'll bring to my close very soon some of the concerns that are raised, and there are specific dot points that I have got outstanding concerns about. I'd like to speak, if I may, on Aquatic Paradise, who are members of my community as well. I've brought to council previously some requests for councillors to consider the subsidy and support for the removal of rubbish that comes into the estate. Naturally, there's a majority of councillors who do not represent these marine environments that have the same considerations, so it's very difficult for us to get the support to help people like Aquatic Paradise. They've got a huge debt coming up with the dredging, and I would like to think over the horizon that we might think about some deliberative democratic processes. I understand also that officers have done great work recently in working with Aquatic Paradise, but I do miss the convergence ratio and mourn the loss of that. In summation, I think it's important for us to acknowledge that we've done everything under our power. There's been some changes that came through with the Local Government Act in 2012 in November that bestowed to mayors extra powers in their ability to direct CEOs and executive staff, and I think that has created in the organisation what could justifiably, and certainly by people who put some views forward about that at the time that it was being proposed under a Newman government change, some concerns about what that does within an organisation in terms of the people who...
Your point of order, Councillor Edwards.
Madam Mayor, I fail to see how this line of discussion at Councillor Bishop is any way related to the budget item before us.
No, Councillor, I think you'll just move on with summing up on your discussion on the budget. Thank you.
I'm summing up in saying that the making this particular budget and the previous budgets possible has been facilitated by that change.
Sorry, Councillor. That's not true, and you would desist from referring to that.
It has been partly facilitated.
It has
by
not
that
been.
Change.
Councillor, I ask you to sum up, please, because that is not the case, and I will have those items corrected prior to this debate being finalised. Please sum up. The and process has been exactly the same in the 12 years I've been in council.
On the surface, but I think that it's important to acknowledge that change underneath. And also,
Councillor, if you're going to make those allegations, I will ask you to actually provide evidence of that.
Oh, certainly I can. It's
Thank
the Local
you.
Government Association Act in 2012.
The evidence
November.
Of what you're saying, the changes, how this budget process has been conducted. Moving on, Councillor.
Thank you. So that's with regards to officers. With regards to... Sorry. Point of order? I'll pause.
Point of order, Madam Chair, and it's simply that the council just has a different opinion to you. That's not a matter of fact or otherwise. He just has a different opinion and surely should be allowed to express it.
Councillor Ogilvie, we are debating the budget, not the Local Government Act. So my ruling is that it is a point of order. It's out of line with the standing orders, and I'm asking the councillor to please sum up. I've given you 10 minutes, and I ask you to sum up, please.
Thank you. It is related to the budget because...
Councillor, I'll just remind you, we're not debating the Local Government Act. Please sum up on the budget items in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of voting from councillors, we are all committed to the long-term best interest of the city. We're all independent, and there are certain councillors who seem to have been supported with the portfolio position and leadership position.
Councillor, that's enough. You're talking to a budget item here.
Mm-hmm.
You are not talking to a budget item at the moment. So can you refer to anything in these budget papers that you would like to sum up in your presentation in convincing your fellow councillors to vote against the motion?
Yes.
And that is what you're trying to do. You're not trying to draw on local government acts and social media. You're trying to convince the people around this room to vote against this budget.
Okay. So what I'd like to sum up with is, having just been to the Future of Local Government conference, where it was made very clear, patently clear, that councils who had, after successive years, promised capped rates or reduced rates, they have faced all sorts of community pressure because they've had to make some very difficult decisions under constrained environments and deliver some ways of attracting revenue to pay for the good time of a certain councils in the past. And I think that in future we're going to need our community to actually understand there are consequences, that there are consequences for this time in the sun. And I resent the fact that I have been, as others have been, considered part of an opposition.
Council, that's enough. Thank you. I'm ruling your time over. I've given you probably about 20 minutes, of which you've been trying to debate other pieces of legislation. I'm going to move on to a speaker for. Thank you for your contribution.
Thank you. I do believe they have been all related. Thank you.
Well, Councillor, I will refer you back to your standing orders, please, and you will talk to the items, and I'll remind every councillor around the room, you will talk to the items in front of you. If you want to have any other sort of debate, it's for a different forum. Councillor Beard, would you like to speak to the motion?
I'm speaking for the motion, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, congratulations to yourself and to the CEO and to the entire staff of Redland City who have made this exceptionally good budget possible. Every single man and woman have made a great contribution to the city and this budget. Look, I think, you know, it's like winning an Academy Award and then saying, you know, I'm trying to be humble and thank all the cast members for making this possible, and that's what I'm doing because I think this budget is an exceptional budget. At the 2012 election, yourself and a number of others promised to keep rates at CPI or below for the 4 years, and we've managed to achieve that. But what we didn't promise, and is the icing on the cake, is that, as you've mentioned, we've actually delivered 2 and heading towards 3 operational surpluses at the same time. You didn't promise to deliver an operational surplus. It would have been easy for us to borrow more money to produce to keep rates at CPI or less, but we didn't do that. You've actually produced an operational surplus for the first time in a decade, and we're heading towards 3 in a row. Everything that Mark Edwards said, and that was a brilliant speech, Mark, congratulations. I endorse. And I think the issue that Councillor Bishop was trying to raise, clearly Councillor Bishop believes we should be paying more rates. Rates should be higher. We shouldn't be Santa Claus. This is our moment in the sun, but we should still be charging higher rates. The difference between us and those councils that have kept rates in the past and then found themselves in difficulty is because they are running operational surpluses, deficits, which caught up with them, obviously. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. We're running operational surpluses. And we're able to do that and still keep rates at, in this case, 0.5%. It's hard to find anything difficult to say about this budget, but I recognise that there are a few people for whom this success is a galling experience, and it's difficult to accept. But I support this budget wholeheartedly. I congratulate you, the CEO, all of the staff, and highly recommend this budget to the community.
Speakers against, Councillor Boglari.
Thank you, through you, Madam Mayor. There's nothing hard for me to accept about this budget, Councillor Beard, and just no, you said some councillors, and I'm taking that as you're referring to me.
Can I remind you, Section 23 of your standing orders, please don't interject.
Thank you.
You have four councillor, and please, if you're going to speak to another councillor, do it through the chair, and I just encourage you to get your point across rather than try and deal with
Well, that was my point. I don't think there's one councillor in this room that was elected in 2012, and also when some of us were elected in 2008 or before, there's not one councillor who came to this position saying, we're going to raise rates. And I just, through you, Mayor, to Councillor Beard, I think that was an inaccurate comment to say that any councillor is in favour of raising rates. Because we...
You said two councillors
have made
comments that
the
rates
are
higher.
No. Okay, councillor.
I have never heard a councillor say that. Okay, every councillor in this room, I do believe, even if I disagree with some of their politics or their ways they do it, I don't believe there's one councillor in here who doesn't believe what they are doing is to increase rates. I also want to thank the officers. I know how much work every budget is, and I know the stress that they do go under trying to get a budget to keep everybody, including 11 of us, happy, and also our residents. I will be voting against the budget today, even though with the work you've done, and I know you've managed to keep rates down low and those figures are good, I do have some concerns. Previously, I mentioned the landfill remediation charge. Yes, that has gone down, but I am concerned about ongoing effects of taking a high-risk approach to waste, and I do look forward to a future waste strategy on that to seek more clarification, and until that time, I'm not happy with that approach. A capital works program of $78 million, you can sort of come out with any figure today. Council only ever delivers about $50 to $55 million each year, and unfortunately in the capital works program this time, I have always been a whole of city councillor to the point where I've even been told to butt out of some divisions. So I'm not taking this as not being a whole of city councillor, but when it comes to the point where my actual division's being done over, I will make that stand, and I am very disappointed.
You might want to indicate where you might want to provide some substantiation to that comment, because I don't believe that's the case.
Certainly. A couple of years ago with a budget, I got asked in a cooperative manner to put out my designing and building of my Wellington Point Hall to hopefully help achieve lower rates and everything that year. I did cooperate, having been given word that this would not mean I would lose my hall altogether at Wellington Point. It is not this year's budget, but it should have been done in this year's budget.
I think there were
my hall has now disappeared altogether. No, it's okay, the hall is still there, but we're actually talking about a budget line item now, not the actual building. I don't really think it's a laughing matter. When you get the word from the mayor to say, if I take it out this year, it will be definitely done in the oncoming years, and now it is no line item whatsoever in the capital works program.
I think that might. I don't think that's the case, councillor. I think it was put through a capital prioritisation policy that actually put other things in front of it. That's how it happened, not through any doings of the mayor.
You asked me, would I be happy enough for it to be taken out for a year to help with lowering the capital works program that year to help keep rates down low, and I was cooperative and said yes, having been given your word that it would be in future budgets, and it still isn't. And I'm sorry, but other capital works programs of mine in my area have also been taken out or put out in future years. So when we're all boasting about a $78 million capital works program, and across the city and some divisions, I would say it's been a really good capital works. At this stage, I am not prepared to be a whole of city councillor, because my division, far as I'm concerned, is not getting a fair share of works that has been promised in the past. And I am continually told when I ask for works to be done in my parks that there isn't enough money. And yet when all these new subdivisions are going in and council has to pay our percentage of the infrastructure, it is the existing ratepayers that are forking out for that amount of money. Every single subdivision is costing this council millions. Southeast Thornlands, I think it was $35 million that it cost council to put in that infrastructure, and that is coming out of the rates, general revenue now from our ratepayers. But when the developers pay infrastructure charges, I'm told that that money has to go into the area where the development is. And I have talked about this with officers. So for me, if my rate base and also the other rate base in the north part of the city are continually going to be paying for infrastructure down there, and then when infrastructure charges come in, it just goes into parks in that area, This is totally unfair. It needs to be addressed. I've asked for it to be addressed and it hasn't been. The infrastructure which is happening in the north is huge. It's really impacting on us, but we don't get the charges because it's infill and so the charges aren't as high. But we are getting a huge population increase and yet we are not getting the infrastructure kept up to date with that population increase in our area. So, yes, I thank the officers for all the work they have done, but I have to make a stand for not only my division but some other northern divisions, and the capital works program is not addressed across the whole of the city.
I might ask Gary Souter just to explain to councillors how the capital prioritisation policy is affected. And in fact, I do believe that there has been considerable capital works across the city, including in Division 1, including in Division 2. But I just might get the officers to just reiterate how that prioritisation policy works and why it's there, because it is a whole-of-city approach.
Through you, Madam Mayor, and I suppose the first point in relation to the size of the program, next year we do have several projects that are extremely large. Point Lookout Wastewater Treatment Plant, which is a $14 million program, the work being done on Maclay Island Car Park and boat ramp there, which is in the order of $6 million. So even though the program is exceptionally large for 15-16, there are two projects that are well underway to delivery, and I certainly believe we will be achieving far in excess of the $55 million that has been the norm in the past, as Councillor Bulgari mentioned. In relation to the program itself, the 10-year financial strategy actually determines the size of the pot and what is affordable from that perspective, and it generally is in that order of the $60-ish million. From there, Council has adopted quite a number of strategies, your open space strategy. We have a whole series, I think we have 13 asset management plans for the various classes of assets that we have, from roads through to marine. And certainly it is done on a prioritisation basis. It does look at the needs and it does look at the availability of the funding from that side of it. And ultimately it is the council as a whole that decides what that program is.
Thank you. Speaker 4.
Question. The prioritisation basis, the core criteria is that's in the current policy?
Yes, it is.
From memory, none of that's weighted?
It is weighted.
Chair, the model itself is weighted, but you're correct. The policy itself just has a series of bullet point statements in it.
Madam Chair, can I ask too, in my division, for example, sporting fields are a real issue. The kids got nowhere to play at the moment. Where is that prioritised as opposed to, say, you know, the Orchard Road bitumen program, which has, I think, about 50 vehicles per day on it?
Councillors, I think the prioritisation policy has been adopted. The capital program has been adopted. I don't believe that your question's in order at this point in time, Councillor. We've had that debate. I'm going to move on to a Speaker 4.
Rubber hitting the road, really. It's just the rubber hits the road as far as the prioritisation policy goes. Rubber hits the road.
Yeah, we have certainly...
Kids sporting fields, nowhere.
Well, I think
people movements per day at 50 on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere.
I don't believe that's
considered
the case.
A priority.
That's
rubber's not
Councillor?
Hitting the road.
I don't think that's the case. I think you'll find we spent millions of dollars just in upgrading lights in our sporting fields in recent times. I'm going to move to Speaker 4, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. As has been said, well done to all involved in the finalisation of this budget, from yourself to CFO to staff. I think it's a great result. Madam Mayor, I didn't sign any pledges or promises in the 2012 election. I found the first budget a little bit difficult to swallow. I supported it because we were in a position 6 weeks after an election that we had to put down a budget. I felt that it was reasonably fair. We'd incorporated things like an accelerated road maintenance program that hadn't been in council before, and we've been spending in excess of $15 million a year on roads in this council term. and roads. This is one of those parts of the capital works program that's very dear to residents. And indeed, the two key elements of our budgets that we put down are maintaining or controlling rate increases. And also, residents want to know what we're spending on our assets out there in the community, and they want to be able to see what's actually happening. So I think it's a fantastic result over the last, well, this is the fourth one now. The budgets just seem to have gotten better and better. I'm pleased we've been able to support, in this case, will be the fourth one. And I think it's a great result. Madam Mayor, I've got a couple of items that I'd like to speak about.
Point of order here. Councillor Gleeson's mentioned $15 million for an accelerated road program. Could he tell me what that is?
Through you. Gary?
Through you, Madam Chair. The accelerated road program actually relates to the road reseal rehab program that we were talking about, and councillors may recall that the city infrastructure manager Murray Herbs presented to council some time ago on the asset condition of our roads, and through that presented a program to council which involved basically over a 5-year period an increased allocation each year through the capital budget for resurfacing of our roads, and I believe I'm under the impression that's what the council is referring to.
We should have been asked before they bought these things. I understood it was 8.1 or 8.2 million. Is it now 15 million? Because we doubled it from 4.1 to 8.2. I thought that we were sitting there on the reseal program. Has it suddenly jumped to 15 million, has it?
Through you, Madam Chair. The reseal program is 8.2, as you correctly suggested. We actually have the road rehabilitation program as well, which is in the order of about the 4.5 million, and that basically addresses those roads which are past the point of a reseal is not effective on them.
I thought it was relating to the reseal program. I want that figure right, because Councillor Gleeson has thrown a few figures out in the past, and I just wanted to test the veracity of that. Thank you.
Continue, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Gary. Again, through you, Madam Mayor. Before I get into the items that I'd like to raise, I'd just like to clarify a comment through you, Madam Mayor, that Councillor Ogilvie made. It's about a comment that gets thrown around from time to time about Redlands rates, sometimes being the dearest in Queensland, sometimes in the universe. I've actually got a comparison chart here from 6 Southeast Queensland councils. They are Redland City Council, Gold Coast City Council, Logan City, Sunshine Coast, Moreton Regional and Brisbane City. This is the comparison that I have here is a property, 1A1B, which is mainland owner-occupied property with a valuation of $272,094, which is about our median price. Madam Mayor, this comparison rate includes bulk water, retail water, water access charge, waste water, utility fees and general rates, and actually puts Redland City at the third cheapest out of those 6 city councils. So I'd just like to clarify that. It is a little bit of a fallacy out there that we're fairly dear. In fact, as I say, out of 6 local councils, we're the third cheapest. I think it's a great result.
You just have to wait, Councillor. You just need to wait. Sorry, you need to wait for the councillor to turn his microphone off. That's why it flashes. So you can now turn it on.
I have to do a course. Just a clarification to you through. Did the councillor include the infrastructure charge, Logan, charges separately, again, out of the rate?
Wouldn't that make more expensive?
Madam Mayor, no, that's not including infrastructure charges to the developers. This is what the ratepayers get.
He's talking about a levy. It's a levy. I don't think he was trying to establish that.
It is is included.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. A couple of things I'd like to raise about the budget, and like I said, most of it's fantastic. I'd like to just draw your attention to page 10 of the budget document. One of the items in there now, we're being judged by a rate increase or lack of by the community, by the media, by everyone concerned, and rightly so. But a couple of the items that are included in our rate notices and our headline rate fees and charges that are issued by the state government and we collect on behalf of the state government, which we have no control over. One is the state bulk water charge, and one is the state government fire levy. Now, I've done a little bit of research on this, and if we actually recalculate council's charges and council's controlled figures, the headline rate is actually minus 0.85%. It actually goes backwards if you take out the state fees. I can't think of another council that can provide those sort of figures. I think it's fantastic. One thing I'd also like to clarify, Madam Mayor, probably more so for Division 9 and Division 2 residents. The state valuations, land valuations, happened recently. Cleveland had the largest increase in state valuations, followed by Capalaba, with an average of around about 5%. That does have a bearing on Capalaba rates, and I'd really like to highlight, just so I got stuck on this on the first year budget when we had a state evaluation as well. I'll be going out there very strongly and saying, listen, the 0.5% is a terrific result, but it's a whole of city result, and that's what I'm being asked to vote on today. But I've sought some examples in Capalaba of what will happen via the rate changes. Some are good, some not so good. And my own property, in fact, has probably got one of the higher rate increases, and that is your pretty medium sort of house range in Capalaba, very run-of-the-mill. My valuation went from $205,000 to $220,000, and we're seeing a reasonable size increase on that. When you allow the changes in the utility fees that we've done, the end result is about an increase of about 3.7%. So certainly not extreme. But I just want to get a message out to my residents that, you know, while we go on about headline rates being fantastic, that is an average figure across the city, and some residents may see a little bit more, some might see a little bit less. But I think it's a terrific result overall.
Speaker against? Oh, Councillor Elliott.
Because if we'd continued doing all these separate, I would vote for all of them. But the only one I don't do is the differential rating. But I'm going to be stuck at voting against this budget for that simple reason. It's all lobbed in together now. And I'll remind
you that that's always been the case over many years.
That's fine, but you are able to do it. And
you are certainly enabled to put your points of view and opinions and have them noted. So it doesn't preclude you from voting for a budget. And you certainly can enunciate very clearly the elements you don't like. Let's face it, everyone around this room has an element of a budget that they're not comfortable with. And that has been the process in the 12 years I've certainly been around the table with Councillor Rosso.
Can I...
Councillor's articulated exactly why the legal opinion...
What's your point of order, Councillor?
Well,
what's your point of order, Councillor?
Well, the point of order is that if he wanted to...
What part of the standing orders?
If he wanted to, he could now challenge the veracity... if he wanted to, I'm not saying he wants to, but if he wants to, he could take this further and say that he has been denied the democratic, not privileges, responsibilities that he has under the Local Government Act.
Councillor,
and challenge the budget.
We've had that debate, and we've actually already voted on rating categories, Councillor Elliott. So, but can I just respond, Councillor? We've had that debate. Councillors, I am giving you every opportunity and ample time to have noted in the public domain and in the record what your concerns are. I am not denying any natural justice to have your views noted and read by our community. Thank you. Councillor Elliott, you have the floor.
Never been happy with the differential rate. I still think it has got have more political courage put into it in future years.
Councillor Ely, you've already voted against this item.
Oh, well, I'll shut up then.
5.3, sorry. If I just refer you... Yeah, unfortunately, I'm happy for you to do that. I'll allow it. But you had your opportunity when I asked the speakers for and against on 5.3.
Okay.
But I'll allow it.
Okay, I'll turn the thing on. I'll bring me on. Just in your budget speech, Mayor, and I thank you this year for not bagging us like last year, and I thought that was uncalled for. But I think it was a reasonably good speech. I beg to differ. I congratulate you on your speech. I'll be honest with you as far as that goes. But certainly, when you mentioned the big ticket items was $1 million of roadworks on the Bay Islands, which doesn't go far, and Banfield Lane's $900,000. Well, Banfield Lane is just the access to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's not a big... And when you said the word congestion busting, I think somebody wrote that speech... really should have a look at what congestion busting is, and I don't think it was Banfield Lane. As I said, I have a real... I don't have a problem with any of those. I know the guys in the room here. They have Aquatic Paradise and all this sort of stuff. I would have supported all the 5.6. I find that difficult. I find it difficult to do, and I think we could have been through it in no time. The differential rating system is a pain to me. It's a total pain. I think it's considerable amount of money is spent on the Bay Islands, and I don't deny we've got to do this. But when I see minimum general rates that low, what the locals are in my area, pensioners and things like that, I just cannot, I will not support that until that gets much, much fairer. Thank you.
Speaker 4. Councillor Hardman.
Yes, I too am happy to support this budget, as I've done the previous budgets of this term. But I won't go into detail of the budgets. We've already heard from the Mayor and Councillor Edwards. Comments of the facts of the budget and have done it perfectly. But I'm pleased to be part of a council that have kept rates low for our community while continuing to provide a high level of service. I'd like to also thank our officers involved in constructing this budget, our finance team who've put their endless hours in, and also the officers and the people on the field who deliver this budget to our community. In recent dealings with our community members, I've only heard positive feedback from these people who have dealt with our officers. So I'm happy with the outcome of this budget and I'm happy to support it.
Speaker against. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to personally thank the officers in council for their support they've given me over the last year. I've been extremely... grateful for what they've done. I think we've got an excellent team in this council, so for them I commend that. As far as capital works, we're discussing that at the moment. You can't tell me there's no political will in how our capital works and our operational works are assigned. We've all had complaints out in the field of certain things not being done, and I'm not going to linger on that fact because you and I, all of us here, know what's going on to a degree. And that's just politics and we've got to live it. Oh, look, do you want me to suggest? 23.
Councillors.
23.
Please. Maintain the respect of the Speaker.
Thank you.
Continue, but
thank
I also ask you to substantiate such comments next time, Councillor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just didn't want to focus on that point too much. As you know, I've often been maligned and actually insulted for suggesting a rate freeze, but I drew attention to the fact that Noosa Council had a rate freeze last year, and this year the Gold Coast City Council has a fees and charges freeze. So... they're doing such wonderful work out there, and we've cut the operational and the CapEx budget so much, I thought we could have delivered a rate freeze this year. And I've always supported a rate freeze, you know that. It's something I went to the election with, and I still think we can still do that this year. Happy to move that motion now if you'd like me to, because I believe we can do it. The other question I have, I doubt that that's going to get moved, though. The other thing I have a real problem with investment property owners paying a lot higher rate on their general rate. What concerns me, I don't know what the rationale behind it is. We're not changing the use of that property, and I don't understand why we charge so much more 10 and 20% loading on an investment property rate. I think a couple of councils here support me on this point. I mean, it's quite enormous, the increase. I mean, people think owning an investment property is a cash cow. Well, I can tell you, as an investment property owner...
So, Councillor, if you'd been listening, clearly you weren't, 5.3...
Yeah, that was on the actual... I voted against the differential. Now I'm talking about the actual rate itself. It's a different
5.3 would have been your opportunity.
Well, I didn't think so, Matt. Excuse me. I didn't think so. I thought this was the opportunity.
Councillor, if you read your agenda, you'll see...
Well, we were voting on the differential rate, which I voted against, and now I'm speaking to the actual rate, which is part of the charges. Would you agree?
No, I don't agree, but I will let you continue as I did, Councillor.
I find it hard to discern it that way.
Councillor, when I'm speaking, could you please be quiet so I can actually get the meeting in order? Thank you. So, Councillor, 5.3 was your opportunity to speak against the elements of the categories that you're not approving of, which is what you're doing currently. I will allow, because I allow Councillor Elliott to do it, but I do encourage you to read your agendas and be prepared.
I do read my agendas, Madam Mayor.
Well, you would have understood that that was...
I understood it as we were voting on the actual principle of the differential rate, which I was against.
Councillor.
Yes, ma'am.
Continue and speak the item.
So, by your leave, Madam Mayor, may I ask... Lynette, if she could give me the rationale behind charging the higher rate on 3B and 4B.
Councillor, that is a policy decision of council, not something an officer will... You did attend that workshop. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. But just for the purpose of letting the media...
Councillor, see if I...
There you go, we all do it. Councillors, if I could just advise you that if you remember, there was a court case, and Andrew helped me out, in Mackay, in which some comments by the Mayor at that time and some other councillors were unhelpful in setting the rates. That case has, and the information has been given to you around the lawfulness of those charging and the rating categories. That was tested in the court. I think the appeals... finished, Andrew?
Yeah, that's
great. The repeal's finished, so our rating categories and all of our policy procedures that are here, as I say, council officers are to provide differing advice and to check the veracity of all of these. These full budget books have been through King & Co, have had the check off prior to being distributed, so everything that is in there is lawful. Policy settings are clearly for you guys, but I would warn you that making comments around those, if you draw your mind back to the Mackay case, ended up costing Mackay Council a fair bit of money to go down those paths. So just be careful, please, in your comments.
Thank you, Bill. I was drawing more on a moral issue rather than a point of law. However, I've always been concerned about that even before I was elected, about paying more on investment property. The other issue I have is I just wanted to... draw your attention to 2A and 2B and 2AV, where it says includes all vacant rateable land in 2AV, and on 2A, for example, says all rateable land. I'm just saying that someone could actually come with your vacant land and contest that, because you're saying includes all rateable land in 2A. So if I had a vacant block of land, I could come up and say, well, I should be applicable to 2A because it says all rateable land. I know 2AV differentiates by saying all vacant rateable land. I just thought it's something, just an administrative thing I draw your attention to, because I could come in and say, well, hey, you say all properties up here, but down here you say all vacant properties. I think it's just something that could be challenged in the future.
Can I just remind councillors that we have had this reviewed legally, and it might be your opinion, but the legal review has...
Just my opinion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
The other thing is I'm really concerned about the pensioner rebate not increasing. I think several years in a row we haven't increased the pensioner rebate. Cost of living is a massive issue out there in society, in our community, and I wish we could have increased it this year. I would have supported that. Unfortunately, we didn't do that this year. I'd like to congratulate Mark Edwards, because the SIMBI rates in, 3B and 4B, are going down, $232 and $280 respectfully. So great job. He's rolled out some enormous infrastructure over there with green roads. I'm not sure where the green roads are going on the mainland. Gary, I was going to ask you that question, actually, about the... We're putting green roads on the mainland as well. Through the chair. Sorry, Madam Mayor.
I'll answer that, Councillor. We are currently looking at that for our roads around the place. We're currently in discussions with a company that has a fairly novel product, which is predominantly used in the mining areas to create roads and seal roads that provide a very good surface. So we're looking at those, and a lot of our roads which require dust suppressant and everything is being looked at as a whole of city, and we would hopefully be able to give some information in the coming months to councillors on our proposed trials for those.
Thank you, Bill. And just back onto the capital works, and I draw to Wendy's attention. I mean, I know we're, and Mark's the... as Mackay Island are getting, I think it's over $8.2 million, including the state contribution over there this year, which is fantastic. It's great to improve our water facilities, but we have areas at Victoria Point and Wellington Point that are heavily congested at the moment, and I'd like to see those areas refurbished or rehabilitated or whatever, extended in the CapEx budget, at least in the 10-year plan moving forward. The other issue I have is with the CapEx is I'd like to be more collaborative in the future. I think we've all got priorities in our own area. I'd like us to get together as a team in the future and start working out what is really important for us in the city. I know that's probably pie in the sky kind of dreaming, but I think to deliver more effective financial management in this council, we need to get together and say, we need this here as a whole of city. I think we're getting too parochial. That's my opinion, in my opinion. And I think in this next year, we could actually do some great things for this city. So, are you feeling flush, Madam Mayor?
Yes, I just love pot kettle.
So, well, you know, for example, Logan City Council is spending $500,000 on putting lights around some water towers. I mean, is that really a priority? Is that a back-to-basics principle? I mean, there's still money. Every one of you councillors, and I guess... Logan. I'm just drawing a comparison about priorities.
Stick to our budget. I think Logan can deal with their own.
Madam Mayor, I call you to Paul Gleeson bringing up all the other councils' budget, so now am I being persecuted?
He's making it. Councillor?
I feel under pressure.
Councillor?
Sorry.
Can you please treat this more seriously?
I'm as serious as a heart attack. So, yeah, look, they're my comments. Thank you. I appreciate it, and I look forward to a really prosperous next financial year. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Everyone's had a go at this. So, Councillor Boglari has already spoken to this. Quick one.
Through you, if I just could have clarification on a point that Councillor Hewlett said about SIMBI rates going down. To the best of my understanding, in about 2007. They had a differential rate they had a differential rate put in to raise extra money so we could have an accelerated works program on the island because it was identified they needed that infrastructure. That work had been carried out, and in the meantime, that differential rate had raised extra money, which was about $200 a year, which had been put into a reserve to eventually pay that loan off. When the TransLink levy came in, $88 of it went to pay the TransLink, but the other $120 kept going into that reserve. We've now taken that money out of the reserve to pay back general revenue where the funds went to do the works, but now they're completed. So my understanding is now that that works has been completed, the SIMBI reserve has been used to pay that accelerated sort of like loan off. The rate has now changed in the dollar, and they're going back to just the normal rate. Is that correct? Yep. Just the way Councillor Hewlett said they've got a rate reduction, it's more that extra money that was being collected now isn't being collected. Thank you.
You're correct. Okay. All right. If I may just quickly have a response before I let Councillor Edwards sum up. There's been some interesting statements around the room, and I sort of pinched myself to think that when we have a budget like this that people could go so far to find fault. But there were some questions raised in regards to what's in it for our residents. And the answers drawn from that question seem to measure how we operate and how we deliver by measuring how much money we raise and how we spend it, rather than actually looking at the results. And can I just say that from a business point of view and from a local government point of view, if that is the approach that you continue to take, and I don't care if it's Redland City Council or every council in South East Queensland or Australia, then yes, your rates will continue to go up by 9% per annum. Because unless you start to think about doing things differently and actually cutting your cloth, it's too easy in local government where you have a customer base that has no choice to just do so. So by capping rates at CPI below, we force ourselves, each and every one of us, to think outside the square and to do things differently. And we have done that. We've done that for 3 years. We will do it for another year. And we have seen programs like the Green Seal program that is delivering the same sorts of outcomes expected by those islands for a substantial decrease in the cost. And that is why capping rates at CPI below is so important, not just to our ratepayers, who have pretty much said that along the way, that they can't afford the cost of living and the impact of rates, albeit it's only a small part. They are looking at us to do things differently. And I'm very proud of the fact that the organisation has been able to embark on cultural change to think outside the square, whether it be our finance team, whether it be people in our city spaces, our project delivery. Still more work to be done, but we are doing it differently, and I certainly have had no complaints from residents that our services haven't maintained the high standard I've seen over the last decade. I'd also like to refer to the comments about landfill provisions, and if councils have more than a short-term memory, they would understand that in the previous year, we've had to adjust our budget reviews according to the landfill provisions. I have a real problem raising rates, unnecessary rates, and imposts on our residents for money we don't actually need. And you've heard me say it in this chamber about better forecasting and better budgeting. That is because we shouldn't raise a lot more money than our services require to deliver to our community. Yes, it's difficult having an ageing community, and we are ageing rapidly. Pensioner remissions, we would all love to support our pensioners. But what we should be doing is actually talking to the federal government to ensure that their increase in their pensions keeps pace with CPI and other cost of living pressures. Otherwise, it is simple cost shifting from federal government to local government. And we have maintained our approach, which is still very high comparatively to our neighbours, of a 330 remission. It's financially smart to do that, because as our community ages, they will all be part of the same pool and we'll have to find money from elsewhere. There was reference to our project management office, our PMO, and it's interesting because some of the comments were made in conflict with others in the same paragraph. Our project management group is absolutely happening. What happened with the previous councils is they implemented a PMO but didn't bring the officers on the journey and the cultural change that was required. We are certainly working through that process, and that will also draw on further efficiencies in this organisation. And in the meantime, the capital prioritisation policy which we adopted allows us to take care of our budget. And might I say, in the 12 years I've been here with Councillor Ogilvie and we've both talked about asset management, we've come a long way and in fact are spending a lot more on our renewals now than we were even 3 or 4 years ago. It's a journey and we can't just sort of go from woe to go in two steps. It's like being the last runner in a relay race. Sometimes you've got to run a little faster, and we're doing that right now. So asset renewal is a focus, and that's been demonstrated by a decision this council made in this last year, in this calendar year, to implement a new program to make sure that we have all 250,000 assets noted, and making sure, by the way, that we're not raising money to replace assets before their life is over. And I could probably guess that that might be the case in some instances. So we want to have the detail, which we'll get not only through this program, but through our QTC modelling as well. Everything will fit in together, dovetail, and we will be more effective and find efficiencies. I also find it very difficult to swallow when people refer to South East Thornlands and Kinross Road as being the brainchild of this council and the infrastructure costs associated with it. Let me make it very clear to you. This council inherited a master plan that was adopted by the previous council, albeit that, yes, it was in a planning scheme as an emerging community, and, yes, we do have to live with the consequences of that. Most of us don't like it. But the fact is that that agreement was made prior to this council. The other elements about infrastructure, there is a bit of a furphy that developers who investors in this city pay 100% infrastructure charges. I've said it before and I'll say it again. That has never been the case. Now, you can make that argument, but you need to substantiate that with budgets of previous decades ago councils. Albeit, yes, we have faced challenges and caps from state government policy, and what we need to do is refine how we deliver that infrastructure, and we're doing that as well through reviewing those PIPs. So if I could just probably end my little response to some of the comments being made, and I'll take a leaf out of the castle, if I may. Sal said to me, they did not want tip fees. A previous council said, tell them they're dreaming. Sal said to me, our rates are exorbitant. The previous council said, tell them they're dreaming.
Can I do a point of order on your speech, because this is inaccurate.
Thank you, councillor. Thank you. It's not inaccurate.
It is inaccurate.
Councillor?
I am chair. I don't ever remember the previous council going out to the community saying,
Councillor,
tell them you're dreaming.
Thank you. Nor do I recall Sal having...
I also remember a council that had no water revenue.
And thank you, Councillor.
We couldn't have brought it back into surplus now. There'd be nothing wrong.
Councillor, you will desist or you'll leave the chambers. You've had your opportunity and I'm responding to the Sal story. Thank you, and when you have an opportunity to chair a meeting, you can do it as you see fit. I'm responding to the episode of the castle that put forward by Councillor Ogilvie. Thank you. Councillors, you can say that water has saved the butts of this council. And yes, it has made a huge contribution, absolutely no doubt. And there's no one that was in this room when those decisions were made that were happy about how the state handled that. And we all lobbied in different ways to ensure that water came back. But let me tell you, that is not going to save the future of the financial sustainability of this council on its own. It's finding other sources of revenue, which we identify in this budget. It's doing things differently, doing more with less. And local governments will face that in the future as we tend to get little from the big cash pie and tax revenue pie across the nation. And if we don't think outside the square, we will see deficits. And it has nothing to do with water. That is a regulated business. We will have to think outside the square. And I encourage you, rather than thinking about ways of hiking the rates, I would encourage you, who may not support this budget, to think of ways we can better deliver to our community. With that, I'm going to hand back to Councillor Edwards to sum up. Before the sum up, I'll let him sum up and then I'll go to Nick, I think, because, Nick, we just want to make sure we've got this resolution where it needs to be with those small amendments we had earlier.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For me, today is not about the castle. Maybe Groundhog Day is more appropriate. However, I congratulate all the councillors because I think the level of discussion debate this year has been an improvement on previous years. I'd just like to clarify one thing in regards to the Macleay Island foreshore. It's been talked about as it's to provide parking. The real issue of the foreshore being done is asbestos capping, and it's really to save the lives of people in the future. So we're taking the opportunity to provide parking facility down there, which is part of which actually makes it cheaper for us to deliver that. We all have issues in regards to infrastructure, and we all like it, and we all need it in the city. And I think we've done a good job in trying to identify areas in which we can deliver a result in infrastructure, but it's perhaps not gold plated. It does the job, and I think this budget and all the previous budgets now places this council in a position for the next 4 years where really good outcomes can be achieved, because we're running surpluses, we can provide infrastructure that we can afford, and we can target where it's needed. I know there's need in every single division, but we really have to concentrate on where the need is. And I know sometimes that need has to be on Stratty because there's certain needs there. It has to be on Southern Redland Bay, where there is probably more growth than other areas, and there is a bit of resentment. But as we set ourselves up for the next 4 years going forward with these budgets, and particularly this budget, I think that we can provide ourselves in a way that this council can deliver more for less, and everybody can get a good outcome. I recommend the budget.
Thank you, councillors. With that, you can now live the dream, and we'll get Nick to clarify. Oh, you want to make a point of clarity first, then, Nick, if you can just ensure that motion is correct.
Councillor, it was just a point of clarity around the asbestos, because I do not want it in the public that just so that for the record, we've had numerous reports on the asbestos. The asbestos is safe in its current form. Yes, the car park and the foreshore area and all the work that is in there are multiple areas, but that just adds another layer by default over the top of the asbestos. But I do just want to put it on the public record that at current, the way it is over there, it is completely safe, and we are addressing a range of issues, and that is just one of the ancillary benefits that it puts it even further under and will give residents a degree of comfort. So just for correction on that one. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Mayor.
Just defer to Nick Clark. Can you just make sure that motion is where it needs to be? Thank you.
Yes, Madam Mayor, the motion is originally had items 5.6.4 to 5.6.12 in the last item. I think to be absolutely sure, given that there is some slight variation between one or two of the recommendations in 5.6.3 and what's there, that you amend item 8 to say 5.6.1 to 5.6.12. and that should suffice, and that's consistent with the earlier resolution about voting on block.
Thank you. So I'm just ask the mover and seconder of that motion if they're happy to move that as amended. So Councillor Edwards and Councillor Gleeson, was it? I can't remember. Okay, councillors, with that I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour, Councillor Gleeson, Beard, Tolte, Edwards, Hardman, Williams. Those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie and Councillor Boglari. Thank you, councillors, for your participation today, and to all the officers, before I close the meeting, once again, a heartfelt thank you for the hours of hard work, sweat, tears, passion that you've contributed to this small moment in time. And with that, I'll close the meeting at 11:58. Thank you.